This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, we begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His assistance and we seek His guidance and we seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His praises and blessings upon our Master and our Teacher, the Final Messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as human beings living the life of this world, naturally we create for ourselves various markers. Markers which become pit stops. Pit stops that entail transference. Our transference from one stage to another stage. We discussed previously the month of Muharram, the new Islamic year, and how for a Muslim it should be a pit stop, a moment of reflection, reflecting over the past year and figuring out how to be better for the next year. Because the Islamic calendar is a means of enlightening us about our journey to the grave and that appointment with the angel of death becoming ever so close. For our young children, mashallah, especially those going to school, the new academic year is a marker. Whenever that year starts, naturally, and I remember when I was a young boy, I would be figuring out when the next holidays are arriving. And when the next holidays arrived, we would try and hide the calendar so we would never see when the next school year was starting or how close that appointed date is. And then lo and behold, subhanallah, that date would come by and we would enter a new year. And as the years went by, it felt like the holidays were getting shorter. But no, the holidays were the same number of days. But we don't know how time just began to fly, subhanallah. I'm sure the young people in the audience here going to school feel that. That the school year takes forever to finish. And the holidays finish in the blink of an eye. I want to dedicate today's khutbah to our young school goers here. Young, those who are in primary school, young, those who are in secondary school, and young, those who are even going to university. Today's khutbah is about back to school. And there's so much that can be shared from the minbar, the masjid pulpit, regarding advices to the school student when you go to school. But as I contemplated the topic, I thought to myself, in the short time that I have, perhaps I should choose to share with my young brothers and sisters advices that I wish someone taught me when I was as young as you going to school. Those advices that would make the process more substantial, that would help calibrate the heart and the mind and the soul, especially being a Muslim student. There's no blame, and I don't lay any blame upon our teachers and those who used to educate us and lecture us, for we are who we are today because of them. I want to make that clear, that no one should understand from what I'm saying that I, as a young boy, was disadvantaged. No doubt, there was no disadvantage. Our parents did their best, and our scholars did their best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's barakah did the rest. Alhamdulillah. That which we didn't learn, alhamdulillah, Allah's guidance fell on those whom He willed. And alhamdulillah, everything was not lost. And perhaps we should start there. That as a young child here in the audience and as a young student, it may be that your schooling career gets you to learn more knowledge than your parents managed to learn when they were growing up during their yesteryears. But never ever let your added school knowledge ever make you feel that you are ahead and your parents are backwards, or your teachers are backwards. Never ever let knowledge make you arrogant. Why? Because if you can see further than your parents, if you could argue that, if you could see further than your teachers and your imams, if you could argue that, then it's only because you're standing on their shoulders. If you have a wall in front of you and you can see what the person holding you up can't see, you can't fail to give recognition to the person holding you up For if they didn't hold you up, you wouldn't see what you now see. Going back to school. My dear brother and sister in Islam, as you go back to school next week, be sure in the days before school, you revise your intentions. And you remember what you've learned during the summer holidays in terms of the khutbahs that you've heard, some of the lectures that your parents may have made you watch online, some of the conversations that you may have had in your home. These lectures and lessons and conversations aim towards making you more mature. Contemplate what you've learned and contemplate how you can bring that knowledge into your new year, so your new schooling year can be far greater than your last schooling year. And one of the greatest things you can do is to recalibrate your intentions. You see, for many of us, not just you, my young brother and sister in Islam, even the parents, for many of us, we normally go to school or go to work or go to the gym or go on holiday or wake up every day failing to make Allah our purpose. We know we worship Allah, we know we love Allah, we know we intend Allah, but we don't bring Allah into what we do. We tend to make our purpose for doing things the result, when rather for a Muslim, the purpose for doing something should be the pleasure of Allah. And everything that happens as a result of it is a given. And I've spoken about this previously in the masjid when we spoke about having a vision. If you go to school, my dear son, my dear daughter, my dear young brother and sister, and you study well, the result of your study will be that you will graduate, you will pass your exams, you will be more knowledgeable this year than you were last year. That's a given. That's a result. But that shouldn't be the reason why you wake up every day for school. Why you open your little eyes and wake up your little hearts at 6 a.m. early in the morning, for those who don't have to pray Fajr, and early in the morning for those who have to pray Fajr, and you don't have the luxury of going back to sleep. You have to put on your uniform and go to school. Don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the process. Make this schooling year for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That every day I go to school, I'm in a Jannah building exercise. Why? Because I'm worshipping Allah through my presence here. Every attendance is for Allah's sake and His pleasure. Every homework I hand in is for Allah's sake and His pleasure. Every study I complete is for Allah's sake and His pleasure. Every classwork I complete is for Allah's sake and His pleasure. Every exam I take is for Allah's sake and His pleasure. Meaning, I want to learn this knowledge that Allah revealed. Because Allah loves for me to know and be knowledgeable than to be ignorant. To please Allah in this matter, that's why I'm going to go to school. And also so that perhaps I may qualify and be a spreader of this beneficial knowledge. And if this knowledge takes me to a degree, then I will represent Islam in my field of expertise. This should be your purpose for going to school. If you put this at the forefront of what you do, you will be in Allah's remembrance. And the time at school will be an act of worship. And Allah rewards you for worshipping Allah, which means your time at school will be a Jannah building exercise. This year when you go to school, my young brother and sister, and people say, are you getting ready for school? Say, no, I'm getting ready to build Jannah. Are you going to school? Say, no, I'm getting ready to go build my palaces in Jannah. Are you studying for your exam? Say, no, I'm busy planting my trees for my gardens and forests in Jannah. This should be the paradigm that I want you to have this year. That your time at school this year, you're living in it, you're going to it, you're leaving from it, is similar to what Ibrahim alayhi salam said when he mentioned, inna salati, indeed my salah, wa nusuki, and my sacrifice, wa mahyaya, and my living, wa mamati, and my dying, lillah, belongs to Allah, is for Allah, for His pleasure, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. And take this idea into your PE as well, because I know now the soccer season will start, right? I've been around the UK for a bit more this time, so I understand how things are working. We have the cricket season, and we have some cricketers here, mashallah. We have Ahmed over there, and Abdullah, and another Ahmed. They've been doing well, mashallah, because I've managed to watch them. We have some footballers who are getting ready for the football season. Don't make your play for the sake of play. Find Allah and make Allah your purpose for your play. That I will play so I can be fitter and stronger, because Allah loves a stronger believer. And Allah loves that we take care of our health and our bodies. And by being fitter and stronger, I'll be able to pray my salah better. and I'll be fitted to fast the month of Ramadan when it arrives, and so on and so forth. So your PE and your play and your swimming and your football and your cricket and whatever it be becomes a Jannah building exercise as well. So this is the first advice that I wish I had when I was growing up, and I share with you from my heart to your little hearts. Go to school this year and make every day a Jannah building exercise by making your reason for going Allah's pleasure and that which Allah loves. Everything else is a result and is a given. That's advice number one. Ikhlas, be sincere. Do it for Allah. Advice number two, my young brother and sister in Islam, if you are going to school for the sake of Allah, and you're doing it for His happiness, and you're studying for the sake of Allah, and you're doing your homework for His sake, and your classwork for His sake, then Allah only deserves the best. If you're doing it for Allah, advice number two, excellence is the minimum requirement. Excellence. And when I say excellence, I mean in effort, not result. Result is with Allah, but your effort, what Allah has left with you, how you write your homework, the handwriting that you use, that's with you. Make it excellent. How you express yourself in your homework and classwork, the language that you use, improve it and make it excellent. Your behavior in class, your punctuality, when you get to class, when you leave class, make it excellent. Let your teachers, and there might be some non-Muslim teachers teaching you, recognize a difference in you because you are a Muslim. That's your identity. It's one of Iman. You're here to build Jannah. Build Jannah excellently. Hand in your homework before time. Get to class before time. Don't leave class before time. And when there's participation, participate and make your participation excellence. Ensure that you have your heart on the prize, and that's Allah's pleasure. And then because you love Allah, you want to give Allah the best. We love our parents, right? Whenever we want to purchase our parents a gift, we think of the best gift to give them. Why? Because that's my mother and father. I want to give them something that will make them happy, something that will make them smile. And when I see their smile, it will make me happy. I don't know why, but this is how I feel. The same way with Allah. If you want to give your parent the best, Allah is greater than your parents. And His love mandates a greater intensity of love than the love that you have for your parents. So as you want to be excellent for your mom and dad, make sure what you do for Allah is excellence. Make excellence the minimum requirement. Now you might slip along the way. There might be a missed homework here or there. You may procrastinate here or there. What does procrastination mean? At-tarabbus, as Allah tells us in the Quran. This is not something loved by Allah, where you leave what you're supposed to do today till it becomes too late. And then when there's very little time to do it, what do? You start cramming and you write and you get it over the line. But your writing is done anyhow. Your application is anyhow. It's a high stress kind of project and you did it for the sake of handing it in. That's not excellence. When you work for Allah, you do it for the sake of pleasing Allah. And you want it to be excellent. So as, in terms of advice number one, you calibrate your intentions this year and make your attendance in school solely for Allah's sake. Number two, chase excellence. In effort, for it is the minimum requirement. And if you slip, seek istighfar. Ask Allah to forgive you. Don't lose hope. But never ever go to sleep that day and let Allah see you being happy, as if the day was perfect. Show Allah that you're sad, that your day wasn't excellent for His sake. And ask Allah to forgive you, and ask Allah to help you the next day, and get up and try again. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an wa sunnah, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bihadi sayyidi thaqalain. لقد قلت ما قلت وأستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروا إنه كان غفارا وتوبوا إلي إنه كان توابا. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه واكتفى أثره ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين فإنه تركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك أما بعد فاتقوا الله عباد الله واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, and especially my young boys and girls, my young brothers and sisters in Islam. Advice number three, as you go to school for the new Islamic year, don't forget that you in some capacity carry the greatest gift Allah ever gave the globe. And that is a portion of the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Previously, I said to your parents that after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's no prophet to come. And the only hope that mankind has is his ummah. And after him, Allah decreed that he will not take this gift of nubuwwah from the shoulders of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and transfer it to the shoulders of another man. But rather Allah decreed that he will take this gift from the shoulders of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and transfer it to the collective shoulders of an entire ummah. The ummah of Muhammad, the Muslims and the believers, the young from them, yourself, and the old from them, the elders around you, the males from them, and the females from them. Each and every person who says La ilaha illallah, they automatically carry a portion of the legacy of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what does this legacy want from us? What does it mean? What does it entail? Well, we have to look back at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did it mean for him? And not just him, the prophets before him, because they all carried this gift and legacy. It entailed three things. Pay attention. Number one, al-amr bil-ma'ruf. That you are a person who calls towards good, good character, good behavior, good conduct, good practice, good speech, and everything that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, an-nahi anil munkar. That you don't support everything that is the opposite of what I just shared. Everything that Allah doesn't like, bad speech, bad character, bad conduct, bad work ethic, you don't support it. It's not that you just don't practice it, that was point number two, but you don't support it. If someone else is doing it, you don't support it. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And everywhere you are seen, people recognize Iman. You have an identity. Your identity is one of Iman. Your identity is one of I believe in Allah and Muhammad is his final messenger. It is one of Iman. That what I will do is what Allah wants, and what I will leave is that which Allah doesn't want, and I know what Allah wants and what he doesn't want from what he taught me in the Quran and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me as well. Your identity is one of Iman. No one should see you and become confused about what Islam teaches. And we see this today. Some people say, I have Muslim friends. In fact, I was speaking to a construction person the other day. And speaking to him about Islam, he says, but I don't see the difference really. Because when I work for the Muslims, they don't pay me late. They pay me late. This is what they do. They constantly argue about the final invoice. They constantly try and get a reduction in the price. It's constant stress. The other day I spoke to you about how we park our cars and manage our streets. This is something that the non-Muslims see as well. And then last week I mentioned to you, or 2 weeks ago, that the non-Muslims, they don't read Quran, they don't read Sunnah. They read you and me. They read you also, the young children of the Ummah. Your book has to be a good read. When they read your book, when they see you, they have to understand, wow, this is Islam. When they see you speak, they should say, subhanAllah, the Muslims speak well. Just yesterday, someone sent me a video of this MMA fighter, mixed martial arts, Khabib. I'm sure everyone knows him. The young boys, you know him? Khabib? Okay. If you don't know him, your fathers know him. Don't worry, they will tell you. He became very famous. Now, the person speaking is a non-Muslim coach involved in MMA. MMA has many vices, has many practices that go against the Quran and the Sunnah. And when he was asked about Khabib, what did he say? It amazed me. And mashallah, that's credit to the brother, because his identity is one of Iman. He says, subhanallah, you have to realize these guys are Muslims. I was amazed. Why did he start by saying that? He goes, they have respect. His Khabib is a world champion. When the limousine comes to pick him up, guess who sits in the front and who sits at the back? He says, when we arranged for them the accommodation, I went to visit Khabib. He was sleeping in a cot, even though he had a main ensuite. I said, Khabib, your room is there. He goes, that's for my elder brother. It's no discussion. The elder brother gets the best, and then comes us. He goes, they're Muslims. This is from their Muslim values. Khabib was a book. And who was reading this book? The people around him. They became inspired by Islam. They understood what Islam is. The identity is one of Iman. Never be the person who is shy to show your Iman. Never be the person who is shy when it comes to the time of prayer. You might be playing a cricket match or a football match, and it's time to pray. And you might have a coach who's a non-Muslim coach. Don't be afraid to tell him, it's my prayer time. I need to pray. Once a young boy told me, my coach gets a bit angry if religious stuff interferes with. But you need to realize that you're a slave of Allah, not a slave of the coach, not a slave of your desires, not a slave of yourself. Protect that. Don't let shaitan make you forget that, my young boy and my young girl. You're the servant of Allah. Be proud of your Iman. Be proud of your Islam. When you see good, support it. When you see wrong with wisdom, reel it back. I know sometimes you can't tell your friend in class not to behave badly immediately, but at least you can make dua for him. That's a form of an-nahy anil munkar. One of the ways to prevent evil is that you hate what you see and you make dua to Allah afterwards, that Ya Allah, my friend in class does this. Ya Allah, guide his heart. This is what I want to see from the young boys and young girls this academic year, that we make dua for each other. We make dua that Allah blesses each other's successes. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the hearts of those who are engaged in bad behavior. My young boy and girl, do not follow trends. This idea about remembering you part of the ummah of Muhammad, what does it mean? Follow the trend of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I know I've been around the UK now for a bit, Blackburn as well. And I've been hearing the speeches in the park, sometimes on the buses and so on and so forth, from our Muslim young boys and girls. And honestly, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on that bus or in that park or in that schoolyard and so on and so forth, he would be really sad. Swearing, and all sorts of letters. We have to respect the mimbar. We don't want to even mention those letters. Swearing. Allah is the all-hearing. Don't let Allah hear you swear. Don't let the Allah who is making your heart beat, don't let the Allah who gave you your tongue hear you using that tongue which He gave you to speak a speech which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have blocked his ears from had he heard you speak. Don't do that. Some of us have been given mobile phones by our parents. Don't let Allah see you doing the wrong thing on that phone. Don't let Allah see you use your eyes for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said you shouldn't use your eyes for. Don't listen to things on those devices with the ears that Allah gave you that will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unhappy with you. Don't do that. It's not worth it, my dear young brother and sister in Islam. You represent a piece of the legacy of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go and represent it. And understand that whatever you give up for the sake of Allah, Allah will give you something better. Sometimes I know it's peer pressure. If I don't speak like this, I won't be popular in school. When I hang around with these friends, people look at me. For those getting older, the fitna of boyfriends and girlfriends. This is a fitna, trust me. You will grow up and look back at your life and realize it was one of the worst things you did. Don't let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see you with someone else's daughter. Or someone else's sister. And the same thing for the sisters. Don't let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see you with someone else's son and someone else's brother in a manner that is displeasing. For tomorrow you will be a mother, you will be a father, and you wouldn't love for anyone to treat your child like that. Do not ever think that life will not catch up with us. It will. And if it doesn't catch up with us, it only means one thing: we've died and we've entered the grave. And subhanallah, we have to answer for everything in the grave. I don't want this to be a khutbah of despondency, my young boy and girl in Islam, my dear student. But I want it to be a real message. A message from a heart of someone who loves you for the sake of Allah to hearts that I believe have so much to offer the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last week I spoke to you about the youth around the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I see each and every one of you here having the potential to walk the footsteps of those youth. That if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was around, he would look at you and smile. But he can't be around, right? But guess what? Allah is the ever living, he never dies, and he watches you. And if you act according to the sunnah, you will find the Lord who will be pleased and smiling over you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our children, protect our children, protect our youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them strength against vice, the whispers of shaitan, and the trends, the evil trends of society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the parents the ability to raise leaders and not children. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our children shining lights through which Islam is recognized and Islam is felt. That through our youth, subhanallah, people enter into Islam in droves. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.